We continue our learning. Leila Nishmas David ben Menachem ben Shem Chaim Yaakov ben Midrash Eliyahu. We are in Chala Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. We're going to be speaking about something called Meisa and something called Chalita. They're almost the same. Both are where we have flour and it's being cooked in hot water. And we're going to have a machlokes by Shammai and by Hillel about these two items. What will become clear a little bit later is that the machlokes, which seems to be different in the case of Meisa and the case of Chalita, is actually the same machlokes as we will see. Says the Mishnah, Ha Meisa, bread is made by pouring flour into hot water. So there's hot water, let's say in a bowl, in a pan, and now boiling hot, and you pour flour inside. So I make a bread like that. So really, I'm cooking, but then afterwards I bake it. So it starts out as cooking and then I bake it. Beishamai pochin. Beishamai says it is exempt from challah. This is considered cooked. It's not baked. And as we know, when I have flour mixed with hot water, that's cooking. And Beishamai hold that bread that you made from cooked dough is not considered bread. So therefore there's no halacha when it comes to the separating challah. Remember the previous Mishnah. We mentioned when flour and water were made into a dough, the dough does become chayv and challah, even if you cook it later. But here is when I did a cooking way at the beginning, before it even became dough, so therefore it's not considered bread. El Beisilla machayvit. Beisilla seems to be strict. Beisilla says, this is challah. They hold that mi'isa, since in the end it's baked. So even though you cooked it in the beginning, where again, you have pouring flour into a bowl of hot water, they say, since in the end you bake it in the oven, even though it was originally cooked, you're going to be chayved separate challah. Ha-chalita. Chalita is the opposite. Chalita is where I have flour in the bowl and I pour hot water on top of that. Maybe that's a little bit more common. Here we have the reverse machlokes. Beis Shammai mechayvin. Here Beis Shammai obligates you in challah because they say, well, in the end you're baking it. Beis Hillel says you're exempt. So the Meisa and Chalita are really accomplishing the same thing. I have flour with hot water. Why should there be Beis Shammai hold in one case Chayv, one case Potter, and Beis Hillel the reverse? So the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Adaf La'amazayin says, don't get confused. These are really the same. They're two versions of the same Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that's all. Meaning Meisa and Chalita are the same and they're treated the same. The only thing is, we have a different version of what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel said regarding Meisa and Chalita. So, according to the first version, Beis Shammai say you putter, Meisa's putter from Chalah, because it was cooked at the beginning, and Beis Hillel say you chayav. But even though it says mentioned Meisa, whatever it said about Meisa applies to Chalita as well. And the second version, which speaks about Chalita, where we have the reverse opinions, Beis Shammai says you chayav in Chalah, because even though I'm baking at the end, it was cooked in the beginning, Beis Hillel say you putter. Why? Because it was cooked in the beginning. That halacha is the second version, but that applies to Chalita and Meisa as well. So here we have two versions. What's the halacha when it comes to hot water and flour, where there's cooking first and then baking afterwards? So one opinion is you putter, one opinion is you chayev. Whose opinion is which? Different versions. According to one version, Beis Shammai says you putter, Beis Hillel says you chayev, and the other version, it's the other way. Mishnah continues, chalos toda urukike nazir. Person brings a carbon toda. So a carbon toda is an animal brought along with that are 40 loaves. Out of those, and the 30 of those loaves are matzah, and 10 of those loaves are chametz. And then Mishnah also mentions a rekike nazir. Those are the wafers that a nazir brings. So the Torah really requires the person who brings the toda and the person bringing the nazir to bring both rekikim and chalos. They're both on that list, but the Mishnah nonetheless differentiates between the two and says it's chalos toda and a rekike nazir, but really it's both. So here we would like to know what the halacha is regarding the separation of challah. The Torah does say arisos seichem. We derive from there velo isas hekdesh. So the Mishnah tells us asa'on la'atzmo pater. Such a person, if he prepared the breads for his own Todah and Nazir offering, so he doesn't have to separate Challah. It's considered Hekdesh, exempt from Challah because of Ariso Sechem. Only yours and not belonging to Hekdesh. But let's say Limkor Bashuk, let's say a person made these Challos to sell in the marketplace for people who are going to need Karban Todah or Nazir wafers or Challos. So that person is obligated to separate challah, chayev. Why? If limkor bashuk chayev, in the end of the day, it's going to be used for hekdesh, because the answer is, maybe no one's going to buy it. Maybe no nazir is going to come along. No person who has to bring a korban todah, who had who was saved from either from an illness or from traveling through the desert or over the sea, or for who was imprisoned and was released. The four cases where you bring a korban todah, maybe no one's going to come to buy bread from this person. So therefore, they're not considered hekdesh, and they are subject to challah. Perek, Aleph, Mishnah, Zayin. Nachtom she'asa se'or l'chalik. Here we're talking about, you have a person has a certain amount of dough that he needs with a K, which is obligated in challah, but he had in mind that he's going to divide it. So to divide it into less than the minimum shear we've said many times, 1 1/4 kaf. So I have a baker, and he made seor, which is sourdough. We'll mention that maybe a little bit later, why it's sourdough. Same thing would be by a regular dough. And it was large enough for there to be an obligation to separate challah, 1 1/4 kaf minimum. So, but he planned on the chalik, he planned on separating them into different portions, and he was going to sell those portions to different people, and each of those portions separately, individually, don't have the minimum amount of challah. So should he separate challah from that seor, from that large piece of sourdough, which he plans on separating, dividing into different portions, which are smaller than the chiyuv of challah? Says the Mishnah, chayv b'challah, he is obligated to separate challah. Why? Because similar to the previous Mishnah, he may, with the Todah and the Rikike Nazir, the Chalas Todah Rikike Nazir, he knows he may not be able to sell the sourdough. So if that's true, he's going to make the dough all as one big large bread. And he's going to do that before he even lets it ferment. And then certainly before he bakes it, he's going to see, are there customers or not? So you don't have enough. So he's not going to make it. He's just going to, put it in the oven and bake it as bread. So at that point, it's all one large piece of bread. And of course, the Chiyuv Challah exists for this Nachtom. Mishnah continues, Nashim shenasnu lenachtom la'asos lahem se'or. Let's say you have a case of women, though, and each of them give a portion of flour to a baker, and the baker is going to make sourdough on their behalf. And he makes one big dough out of that flour, which now only altogether is subject in challah. He didn't need each portion alone individually for each woman individually. He put it all together. So here the Mishnah says, "Im ein b'shel achas mehen kashir." If the halacha is, if none of the woman's portions was the amount that was chayiv in challah, tumana challah, then that dough is exempt from challah, even though he put it all together. Here, the baker has to divide the dough, in order to return to each woman's portion. So in the previous case, the dough belonged to the baker, but here belongs to each woman. So he can't make it into one large bread in the end, because it's not for himself. So he knows he's going to divide the dough into pieces in the end, which are each smaller than the chiyuv of challah, and therefore the dough is not subject to challah. Now, interestingly, let's say one of the women gave 1 1/4 kav to him, so then the whole dough is subject to challah, even in the parts that are going to be given, even though other parts are going to be given to other women, which are less than that amount, because it's combined into one dough. So all you need is that one woman gave you a portion that's chayv and challah, then the whole thing would be chayv and challah as well. In the previous case, just important to note, when it came to the case of the nachtom, I mentioned that Mishnah speaks about seor. So why are we speaking about sourdough? So the Mishnah is teaching us the Chiddush. Yes, certainly if I have I have regular bread and I planned on selling the portions and giving as regular bread. So of course, there's the possibility of making them, if I can't find customers, make the whole thing into one bread. And that's why there is a chiyuv of challah. But the Mishnah is teaching us even where the baker planned on making sourdough. So sourdough, right, and he wasn't planning to use the dough for bread. Still, he still has in mind sourdough usually used to help bake other things, in order to make other things ferment. Nonetheless, even there's the possibility he end up using it to make a bread for himself, one large dough, and that's why there's going to be chiyuv of challah, even in a case of seor, but certainly if it were regular bread.